Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load. Joining me now from the beautiful confines of Yuma, Arizona, is writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir. We haven't ever talked about this before. I don't think we've ever talked about a moose attack before, but I'm very eager to talk about a moose attack. So apparently there was a moose attack in the Iditarod race, which I would, you know, I'd sort of actually imagine that might be like an occupational hazard.
It is. And a lot of the racers, you know, the entries, and you have to be pretty good to even get accepted for the race. I mean, it's a 1,000-mile race with a dog sled.
Right.
And the winners this year did it in a little under 10 days. So that's over 100 miles a day by dog sled, which is pretty good. So pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Of course, these are the people who are in this race, all of them, to just qualify. You have to be a world-class athlete, and your dogs have to be world-class dog athletes. So it is, you know, a race of extremely competent, high-level people. And there have been several incidents where moose have attacked people, well, actually dog teams in the race, and people, you know, there's always a musher along with the dogs.
Right.
And so the reason that most of the people on the Iditarod carry a firearm of some kind, and because weight is at a premium in a race, they usually carry a handgun. Now, it's not always the same. There's a lot of variation. But in this particular instance, it was a 5-time champion, Iditarod champion, Dallas Seavey. He won his first race when he was 25 years old, the youngest Iditarod racer to win one. I think he entered the race the first time when he was like 18.
Right.
His father won 3 Iditarods himself. And his grandfather came in like 3rd in the first Iditarod. So he comes from a family with a lot of experience with the machine and dog sleds and long distance racing. And he had to shoot a moose, I think it was several years ago on the race, or training for the race. I'm not 100% sure. And his, one of his dogs lost a leg in that attack. And then this year, on March 4th, at 1:40, well, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, I imagine, because it took him a little while to get to the next checkpoint. You know, he had to deal with the moose. He had to get the moose, which was shot as it was trying to trample his dogs, and it fell on top of his sled. So, I mean, this is nasty stuff. You're trying to make time.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple hours could make a big difference. And he said he gutted the moose, but did not do, he said it was an ugly job. Now, I don't know how many of the listeners have ever had experience in gutting large animals. It's not easy. I mean, it's one thing to gut a deer that you can just flip over on the side or hold the legs apart to, you know, make the abdominal cut or whatever. But when a deer might be a couple hundred pounds, These moose are usually 1,000 pounds and over. And it's lying on, it collapsed on top of your sled. I'm presuming he probably did a brain shot with his pistol a couple years ago. Well, see, it was in 2015. In an interview, he said that he carried a Taurus 605 stainless steel 2-inch. And he said he carried it because it always worked. And he didn't worry about it. If he lost it in a river, it was no big deal. He'd get another one. And it sounds to me like there's an opportunity there for somebody to, some firearms manufacturer, to get his endorsement. I mean, it would be cheap advertising to give him three or four pistols to choose from to take on the race with him. But I'm presuming he had the stainless Taurus. And, you know, 357, and of course, the 357 delivered to the brain of a moose will almost certainly result in instant death. And since the moose fell on top of his sled,
right,
I think we can believe that it was shot at under 10 feet. So at that distance, it's not that hard. Of course, the moose is probably moving. I wouldn't try to make it super simple. And so the moose fell on his sled. The Iditarod rules require that if you have to shoot a game animal in the course of the race, so they've obviously thought about it and it has happened, then because of the way Alaskan game laws are written, you're required to gut the animal before you continue. Here's the rule. I'll just read it. Rule 34, killing of game animals. In the event that an edible big game animal, i.e. moose, caribou, buffalo, is killed in defense of life or property, the musher must gut the animal and report the incident to a race official at the next checkpoint. Following teams must help gut the animal when possible. No teams may pass until the animal has been gutted and the musher clean the animal has proceeded. Any other animal killed in defense of life or property must be reported to a race official, but need not be gutted. Now, an interesting thing on this is that if you don't, if you fail to gut it, or I guess gut it properly, you have a 2-hour penalty placed on you. That could be pretty significant. Now,
well, how long does it take to gut a moose?
Well, I've never gutted one, I have to say. But if you're by yourself, I think it could take a considerable amount of time. Now, you've got a dog team to help you, so maybe you could rig up something where the dogs would pull a leg in one direction or another or something like that, but it's going to take time. Now, Dallas Seavey said that he gutted it, but he said it was an ugly job. So, at the minimum, you're going to have to slice the abdominal cavity open. Then you got to reach in and cut and remove the entrails, which usually takes a little bit of work. I mean, having done numerous deer and other animals, when they're on the ground, you got to pull that out. And a moose, the entrails could be a couple hundred pounds.
Right.
And then you would want to get the chest cavity open, cut around the diaphragm or get it open, and take out the lungs and heart as well. And some of the esophagus, preferably. And that's a big animal. So it's not like you can just, with a deer, you reach in, you grab a hole, and you yank it out. Well, that's not so certain with a moose. You probably got to cut the connecting tissues to get it out. So we're talking, it seems unlikely you could do it without help.
Right.
In less than half an hour, I would think. And I mean, maybe somebody is really well practiced.
Hang on right there, if you will, because we're coming up on the first break. I want to hear the rest of this. This article is ripped straight off the pages of Amaland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
And welcome back. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We were just talking about this Iditarod moose. Do moose kill more people than bears?
I wrote an article on this a couple of years ago. If you count car accidents, yes. Because a big moose is a terrible thing to run into with a car. And
yeah,
people die in these car-moose collisions. If you don't count the car accidents, No, but there are more moose attacks than there are bear attacks.
Right.
So you're more, because there's just a lot more moose than there are bears. So people, you're more likely to be attacked by a moose than by a bear in areas where moose are present in any amount. And a fair number of moose, you know, have to be, are shot each year in defense.
Do we consider moose to be predatory, or are they prey? They're prey animals?
No, they're not interested in eating people.
Right.
They just view people as a threat. And that's why it appears that they attack dogs so readily. Now, I can't get inside a moose's head, figuratively or literally, but I'm supposing that when they see dogs, and especially sled dogs up in Alaska, where they probably look a little bit like wolves, they consider them to be, you know, a natural enemy like a wolf. And when moose get a chance, they will kill wolves and attack them as much as they can, because wolves kill a lot of moose. And a whole pack of wolves against the lone moose, if it's a bull with a big rack, and he's got good firm footing, yeah, he can probably drive them off. But if it's in deep snow where maybe a crust where the moose will break through and the wolves have the advantage of being able to run on top, that moose is in serious trouble. And wolves have been known to kill even big bull moose. So any moose lesser than that, especially in deep snow, tends to be in trouble. So the theory is that when moose see a dog team, they view it as a pack of wolves, and they'll attack. And it's happened numerous times, so it's not like it's a huge aberration. They will even attack dogs that are chained outside. You know, moose is maybe stressed a bit or maybe a little perturbed because it's been cold for a while, has been too much snow, and hasn't been able to get all the food it wants to get. And it sees something that looks sort of wolfish there in somebody's yard, and it'll stop that dog to death. And there have been people killed by moose, too. But just, it doesn't appear from my reading that moose in attacks kill more people than grizzly bears. Now, the other side of it is that bears don't kill a lot of people. So it only takes a couple of moose attacks a year to overcome, kill more than what grizzly bears do. And I know that more people, I think that there's a small number, probably in single digits, but more than grizzly bears, that die in car collisions with moose. I mean, there are a few people that get killed in collisions, car collisions with deer. But a moose is a whole other matter. It's at least five times as big, and it's got big hooves, and a small car, will tend to almost go underneath the moose, so that big body of the moose is very likely coming right through the windshield at you. So it's moose are a very serious hazard on the roadway and if you're out walking. So it's not too surprising to me that a few racers in the Iditarod have to kill moose, and they've got a whole rule dealing with having to kill a game animal in self-defense while you're in the middle of the race. Now, I don't know for sure that Dallas Seavey had his .357 when he shot the moose. But since that's what he was carrying a few years ago, it's probably our best guess. His father carries both, said a few years ago, that he carries two guns, a .357 Magnum and a .44 Magnum. And he won three Iditarods, so it seems to work for him.
Right.
And then we had a relatively newcomer to the game was training for the Iditarod, and she had for her self-defense gun, she carried a .380 pocket pistol. And a moose attacked her dogs and seriously injured several of them. And she emptied the .380 into the moose, but it didn't seem to slow them down very much. So she had called somebody else, and finally somebody came with a rifle. and killed the moose. And I think that moose was basically trampling on her dogs for over half an hour while she waited for somebody to come. Since then, I've read that she has substituted a larger caliber pistol. Of course, the 380 is actually very close to the same caliber as a 357, but the power level is significantly different.
Right.
The bullets are heavier in velocity, probably about one and a half to almost twice as fast.
I've seen a video of a guy that was out on a snow machine. And he comes up on a looks like maybe a juvenile moose on the trail. And the juvenile moose sort of regards him sort of warily, but then he comes up and starts stomping him on the chest and rears back and hits him in the chest. And he pulls out what looks like a Glock 26 and shoots the moose a few times, and the moose goes down. And if it was a Glock 26, it was 9mm. So is 9mm enough to take down a moose?
Well, I think you have enough penetration if you can hit him in the right spot.
Right.
I saw a video, and if it's the same one I'm thinking about, I believe it was a Glock in 40 caliber, because I did a little research. The one that I saw was a 40 caliber, and he killed the moose with the 40 cal. And you get, you know, that's a 40 caliber is a little bit more powerful than a 9, but penetration is probably pretty much about the same. A 9mm with full metal jacket bullet has pretty darn good penetration.
Right.
So it's, anytime you're using a handgun against a big animal like a moose, it's shot placement that is really important. But even these large animals, if you penetrate the lungs, you know, if you get it into the chest cavity and you get both lungs penetrated, that animal is almost certainly going to die. It's just a matter of how long it takes. But when you've got the lungs basically collapsing because air from the outside can get in between the lung and the chest cavity, eventually they just can't breathe, and the lower parts of the lungs usually fill up with blood, and they die. I mean, for a through-and-through shot on a deer, that usually doesn't take very long, you know, 30 seconds, a minute. They maybe run 100 yards and fall over. But a bigger animal like a moose could take longer. So I know that when he shot that moose, the video I saw, which may not be the same as the one you saw, it went down fairly quickly. I mean, I don't think more than a few seconds.
Hang on for me, if you will. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. Prosecutor Nathan Wade has announced that he will resign from the Donald Trump election interference case in Georgia. Wade cited his commitment to democracy and the urgency to expedite the case's progress as reasons for his decision. A judge in Georgia had ruled that Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis could continue to oversee the case if Wade was removed. Senator Bernie Sanders is proposing a bill to implement a four-day work week in the U.S. If enacted, the legislation would gradually reduce the threshold for overtime pay from 40 hours to 32 over 4 years. The 32-hour work week act aims to safeguard employee wages and benefits to prevent any loss in pay. Chicago tops the list as the best destination in the U.S. to celebrate St. Patrick's Day this Sunday. That's pertripping.com. Boston and Philadelphia follow closely in second and third place. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load talking to Dean Weingarten. These articles, by the way, the ones that we're using, they're all being ripped right off the front page of Ammoland.com. And we're now going to segue to, I think this is the latest one that he had published. And apparently, there's been three attacks by coyotes in Arlington, Texas in 5 days. Now, is that? And I'm going to presume that because this is a headline that that has... That's sort of an increase over the status quo.
Oh, yes. Now, we are getting increased coyote attacks all over the country. But it's not like it's every day. But the numbers are clearly going up. They went up especially in California. Any place in urban areas where coyotes have figured out how to colonize the urban areas, there's a good chance that you're going to eventually get a coyote attack, especially on small children.
Right.
Because a 3-year-old or a 4 or 5-year-old, they're small enough that the coyote thinks, yeah, I can take that, you know. Now, it doesn't happen super often, but it happens much, much more often than it used to. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, we had an attack by a coyote in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And for those who are not familiar with the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Arlington, Texas is in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. It's kind of in between Dallas and Fort Worth and somewhat to the east, as I recall. And so it's right in that area. And this was the Parkway Central Park in Arlington, Texas. And looking at the pictures, there's a fair amount of woods. There's open playgrounds. There's a little creek that's not too far off. And it's a pretty big area, pretty good sized area. And there's a school, you know, there's some apartments bump up to it. So there's plenty of reasons for children to be at the park. And the first attack that happened was, I believe, against a four-year-old girl. And the coyote was actually starting to drag this girl off toward the woods when the father ran after him and apparently scared off the coyote and retrieved the little girl and brought her back. And they called the ambulance, and she went into the hospital for a while, so it wasn't just minor wounds. I don't know if they administered rabies shots. It's pretty common, if you don't know if the animal is rabid or not, to administer rabies shots. So the city officials in Arlington, they set some traps for coyotes. I'm sure they hired somebody to set some traps. What kind of traps they used, I don't know. I mean, since I have had an uncle-in-law, well, my mother's sister's husband, a brilliant trapper. He was a professional trapper his whole life, and I've done some when I was younger. If you know what you're doing, you can catch coyotes without too much trouble using a variety of traps. But since animal rights groups have denigrated the use of fur so much, coyote pelts aren't worth a lot anymore. It's not really worth your time to trap them unless somebody is willing to pay. So the people that trap coyotes professionally now tend to be those that do so because they're a nuisance or causing damage,
right,
which can often happen. So they said traps were set, but there's no indication they caught any coyotes in those traps. And I'll tell you, if you don't know what you're doing when setting traps for coyotes, they're not easy to catch. You have to be careful about scent and placement, and a good trapper does it without too much trouble. But you have to know what you're doing. And I'm hoping that people who set these traps knew what they were doing, but they didn't catch any coyotes in the traps. And they did not close the park. And they did not even post signs saying, coyote attacked a little girl here on, it was Saturday, February 10th. And all of these attacks, as far as I can tell, happened in the daytime with little kids playing in the playground, or one of them may have been in the parking lot. So it wasn't like they were exploring woods, you know, or had gone down into a creek bottom and were a quarter mile away from their parents. The parents were watching them, and they were at this little playground, which is not that big in the park, or they're in the parking lot. So they did set traps, but they didn't warn anybody, and they didn't put any signs up. So then on Monday, February 12th, so there's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, another child was bitten by a coyote and taken to a hospital. But more traps were set. And then on Tuesday, February 13th, a six-year-old boy was attacked. He was bitten. Sounds like he was dragged a little ways. Six-year-old's getting a little bigger. And a woman went running at them, and the little boy was getting kind of bloody by then, but she threw a shoe at the coyote, and with a couple of women there, the coyote went off a little ways, but it didn't run completely off. It was kind of like hovering around, she said. And they decided they needed to get out of there because the coyote might come back, which is pretty common in animal attacks, by the way, is that if they're not really hurt, they'll say, well, you know, I should finish the job and get this prey I started on. After the they did get the girl, or the six-year-old boy. He wasn't attacked again, and they managed to get him to the hospital. And now the city officials decided, well, three attacks, yeah, we should probably close the park. And then the next day, which would have been Wednesday, February 14th, officers were at the park, and it's kind of odd. I'd love to interview the officers that were there. because the news coverage said that the coyote was aggressive and came at the officers. Now, you got a 200-pound male human. It's really unusual for a coyote to believe that he can take on a good-sized adult human and get away with it. But I saw a video which did not show the coyote being aggressive to the officers, but it showed two animal control officers, and they had poles with nooses to control animals. And the video I saw when both of them had got nooses around the coyote's neck and they were dragging the coyote out of the park. And it was obviously alive and struggling and trying to get away, but, you know, it was caught. And they said that, you know, the news coverage sounded as though the coyote hadn't just run off from them when they approached. Very odd. Later on, the news reported that the coyote was not rabid. And the city said, I mean, it's like they have to announce it. The coyote would be euthanized. Well, what seemed odd to me is this is Texas. Now, in 2010, a few years ago,
I'll tell you what, let's hold up right there before you start that, because this is going to get deep. I know I want to hear it. This article is the latest one that he's had published at Ammoland. It's on the front page as we speak right now. And Ammoland, the biggest website of its type, talking about gun topics. Dean, the biggest writer on the biggest website of its type, writing about gun topics, all kinds of gun topics, with a archive of well over 2,400 other articles, plus 2,400 plus other articles waiting for you there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8255. 800-228-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I'm on the firing line. This is Lock and Load. Talking to Dean Weingarten as we head out the door. Talking about these coyote attacks. What is the minimum caliber size on with a coyote if you are accosted by a coyote? And nowadays, I guess it's sort of one of these things where you really got to be sure of your background when you're shooting at a coyote, because a lot of times it's going to be in an urban area, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing. If you are in a situation where a coyote is approaching you, it's far more likely to be in an urban area than in a rural area. Because in most rural areas, coyotes are considered pests, for a good reason. And so in rural areas, it's common for coyotes to be shot on sight. In that sort of situation, coyotes become very respectful of humans, and they don't want to be anywhere near them. And so they, you know, you just seldom will see a coyote. I mean, you might happen upon one just by accident. That's happened to me. All of a sudden, there's a coyote. It didn't see you. You didn't see it. And if you see it first, you can observe them for a while. But mostly, they've got good ears and great noses, and they... Well, and good eyes, too, for a predator. They tend to have pretty good eyes. And if they notice a human around, they will take off because they know humans are dangerous in rural areas. But if you're in urban centers, they're protected. They're essentially given sanctuary status. And a lot of cities even have laws saying you cannot discharge a firearm. And they certainly, you know, almost all of them, don't allow trapping of coyotes. So in urban areas, coyotes learn that humans are harmless. Anyone's not going to do anything to you. And besides, they're pretty slow. You can outrun them easy. So this is why you will get more attacks in urban areas, because the coyotes have lost their respect for humans. Where coyotes are routinely hunted, shot, or trapped, they have great respect for humans, and they stay away. But where humans essentially have created sanctuaries for them, they don't learn to be respectful of humans. Now, I was surprised in Texas it happened this way, because a dozen years ago, in February of 2010, I guess that's 14 years ago now. The then governor of Texas, Rick Perry, was out jogging near Austin, Texas.
I remember this, yeah.
And he had his dog with him. He was exercising his dog. And a coyote showed a certain lack of respect I mean, it was interested in that dog, apparently. And Rick Perry, with a little Ruger LCP in 380, shot the coyote. So it had to be close. I mean, maybe Rick Perry is an exceptional shot. I don't know. But that pistol is hard to shoot really well at any distance because of the short sight radius. So I'm presuming the coyote was probably within 10 yards or so. I don't think we ever got a report of just how far away it was. But he did a good job, killed the coyote. So you'd think in a state, oh, and by the way, Ruger then issued a coyote special LCP in .380 caliber.
But of course.
To commemorate Governor Perry's experience with the coyote.
Yeah.
So you'd think with that kind of a culture, you know, people would be willing to take out coyotes. But here you have it in Arlington in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area. And the attitude might be summed up by this. And in one of the interviews with a person who was at the scene for the last attack, the woman said, "I understand this is their habitat. They were here before we were. I get that completely." Well, maybe. I mean, the current crop of coyotes certainly were. They only lived, you know, 10 years or so on the average. So almost certainly the coyote that attacked the little boy was not much older, maybe the same age as the boy that attacked. But if you cede your sovereignty and your place at the top of the food chain to predators, well, then they're going to take advantage of it. So that attitude, you know, they were here before we were, it's their place. Well, that's going to result in more people getting attacked by coyotes because the coyotes won't respect people. If they don't have any experiences where they view people as dangerous, they'll act accordingly. As they see a young human somewhere that looks like they can take them and they're hungry, a certain proportion of the time they are going to attack. I think we've only had one fatality in the United States by coyotes that we know of, and that happened in Los Angeles in 1981. As I recall, a three-year-old girl was killed by a coyote. And the animal rights people went so far as to claim that the girl had not died from a coyote attack, but that she was a victim of child abuse. Except there was no indication of that whatsoever. They just made it up. The coroner's report clearly states died of injuries from a coyote attack.
Right.
And so it's odd to me when people place a very common animal. Coyotes are not in any danger whatsoever. In fact, they're expanding their range, and they're very much a pest in rural areas. So why people would put the life of a coyote above that of a little girl is kind of weird.
Indeed. Indeed.
So, I expect more. We're going to get more attacks because of this attitude. Coyotes, they were here before us, so, you know,
so
we don't have any right to do anything to them.
At the end of it, it says this will continue to increase as long as they're offered sanctuary status. So
exactly.
Who's offering them sanctuary status?
Well, the cities don't allow hunting in the city. They don't allow firearms to be fired in the city. They make no the only way that you have a provision for taking out these pests is probably if you get a special license from the city in particular circumstances. And effectively, that means that coyotes have sanctuary. So it's the city governments that are doing this.
So
they could make provision.
So does that mean that they are presuming liability over these cases?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. I have seen lawsuits. There was a case that I'm very familiar with. I did a lot of research on it.
Right.
and it was in Tucson, or near Tucson. It wasn't the city. It was on Mount Lemmon, and a good-sized black bear. There's a federal park up there. And a good size, I think it might have been state officials. I think there's state park as well.
Right.
But there was a big black bear, I think about a 300-pounder or so.
Right.
And it was a problem bear. And it attacked a young woman. And fortunately, one of the counselors just happened to have a Ruger 44 Magnum in his car. He had run a couple hundred yards to get it.
Right.
And get back. And then he killed the bear, or at least mortally wounded it. But the young woman and her family sued the park officials for releasing this bear after they knew that it was a problem bear. And they won their lawsuit. And it changed the attitude and the actions that people in parks take all over the country, the United States. So there is some precedent that if you know an animal has been causing problems and you don't take any serious action to prevent it, you might be liable. There might be a lawsuit in this Arlington case because they are making statements that they believe it's the same coyote that attacked all three children. So I could see the possibility that especially the parents of the third child, where no one had told them that there had been two previous coyote attacks at that very park, and that all that the city had done was put out a few traps, yeah, it's possible they could be liable.
I was listening so much, it snuck right up on us. Dean, thank you for joining me today.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Be talking to you on Monday. It's never been about gun control. It's always been about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.